that. And so we get things underway on this Wednesday afternoon by welcoming to the program from the upcoming production of Mr. Burns at Penobscot Theater, our friends Jerry Misler and Alan Adams. Welcome to you both.
Hey there. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. It's great to have you two here. Yeah, I have been excited for this show since I first heard it was coming. I know you felt the same way. Now that you're days away from the official opening, how are you feeling, Jerry?
All right. Well, this is wonderful for me. I love performing anyway, and this play is so unusual in the best of all ways. It's like being in three different plays in one play. And I say that because it's a drama, it's got comedy, there's a pop medley, and I am not even kidding that, we do Uptown Funk as well as Toxic really well. And then, surprise, surprise, Act Three is this futuristic musical where we try to recreate Cape Fear. The Simpsons. It's so cool.
Alan?
Yeah, it's, this was one of the first things I knew about Jonathan when he came to sort of, give his presentation as a finalist for this artistic director position. He did his sample season, and the first show he presented was Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, this guy and I, we're gonna be all right. Because I've been in love with the show ever since I learned it existed. Our good friend Eric Grattan was in a production, I believe in Seattle, about 10 years ago. No, probably 8 years ago. I saw it when they did it at the Stonington Opera House a few years back. And it's just one of those shows that just from the word go has deeply resonated with me. And the experience of being in it and doing it has done nothing to dissuade those feelings. Like, if anything else, I feel even more excited and more connected to the piece.
I know there's a lot going on, but can you give us, as best you can without giving too much away, an overview of the story of Mr. Burns?
It's a play in three acts. What we're dealing with is something has happened. It's not ever specifically defined, but there has been some sort of catastrophic event, and the power's gone out. And it does not appear to be coming back. Act One, we encounter a group of people dealing in the relatively immediate aftermath of that event, like seven months later-ish. We see that, and we just meet them around a campfire, and they're passing the time by trying to piece together the plot of the Cape Fear episode of The Simpsons. Like, that is the central sort of conceit, where they're, basically using this story to distract themselves from kind of the horrors that are surrounding them.
And the fact that we have no electricity. So we don't have televisions we can turn on. So we have to remember.
Yeah. Act Two, we jump forward in time 7 years. This same group of people have gone on to become a group of traveling players of sorts. Their purview is staged recreations of episodes of The Simpsons. We get, as well as, incorporating other elements, pop cultural elements there. Commercials, Jerry mentioned the pop hits medley. That 3.5 minutes is worth the price of admission just on its own.
Well, Alan in his sparkly shirt and sunglasses singing Uptown Funk will also be the price of admission.
Look, I go hard. I'm not going to, it's what I do.
It's worth it.
And then the third act, as Jerry sort of alluded to, we make a significantly larger jump into the future, like decades into the future. And what has happened is we see the story being retold in almost a ritualistic passion play sort of vibe. It's musical, like it's almost like an opera. Like, I mean, it's the third act is almost entirely sung, which for someone like me is just a teeny bit terrifying. But so far so good. Like, and our music director Rob has done a great job of sort of guiding me along and sort of keeping me safe. So that's good.
I love it. We're talking with Alan Adams, Jerry Misler from Penobscot Theater's production of Mr. Burns, opening officially this weekend. Although you've got Pay What You Wish tonight, and then previews for a few nights.
Yep, Pay What You Will, dress rehearsal is tonight. Preview performances Thursday and Friday. But yeah, officially opening
7 o'clock. each night, and then Sundays at 3.
And obviously you two, but also a host of other talented local folks making up this cast. Who else will we get to see, Jerry?
Amy Giroux, who people will know who come to Penobscot Theater, who's been in the box office for years, so Amy's in it. We also have Holly Kostar. We have Luke Myers, who's from Portland, Maine.
Yep.
And we have Alan How do you pronounce Alan?
Eric Kirchish.
Eric. yes. And, of course, the woman who plays Bart.
Mm. Becca Novak, who has an absolutely... it's what and I tease her about it a little bit, but the truth is I've been listening to a lot of cast recordings of this, and I feel like for the most part our cast is relatively equitable with the recordings that I've heard, all except Becca, who absolutely blows away every single performer who sings that part that I've heard. She is phenomenal, and just like the third act performance that she gives is just it's stunning. Like it's beautiful, and it's emotional, emotionally impactful, and funny when it needs to be, and she's wonderful.
And I have to give props to Jenny Hart too, because you know, she is my cohort. We play Itchy and Scratchy in the so we have a lot of fun out there.
I love it. And what about the creative team? Now Jonathan's directing, right?
Yeah, artistic director Jonathan Berry is the director. Scenic design by Dan Bilodeau from the University of Maine.
Kevin McDonald on sound.
Kevin McDonald's the sound designer. Jen, I forget Jen's last name, the lighting designer, has worked at Penobscot Theater a number of times, and has actually a wonderful sort of simpatico relationship with Dan. So when you have a scenic designer and a lighting designer who really like operate on the same page, like that's when the magic happens, and there's a lot of magic that happens.
And there's also,
show.
You know, we're not supposed to have any electricity. So,
right.
You know, microphones and lights are not really in our world.
Yeah, so there's a lot of creativity to make it so we can be both seen and heard.
And Rob Laraway turning you into a musical theater performer.
Oh my gosh,
I mean, I don't know about
too.
That, but yeah, he's been phenomenal, and we've been very fortunate to have Rob not only in the room when we're rehearsing, but he's been very generous with his time outside of rehearsals. Like he's helped me a ton. Because again, like I said, I'm not super comfortable as a singer, and so to have someone sort of guide me and encourage me, it's been tremendously helpful for me.
Alan, is it safe to say that people might be surprised to see the people who are in it in a musical
on stage at Penobscot Theater? Fair. I mean, I think all of us have appeared in musicals or plays with music, but as far as the degree with which the music is involved and we are involved with said music, I think there might be some folks who are a little surprised.
Fun and different,
but while it's a unique story, certainly, but when you break it down to its core, it's about the power of theater, the power of storytelling, the power of community. I would think all of that would resonate with audiences.
Yes, agreed. And that's actually that's an opening to discuss one point that I think is very important. You don't have to know a lot about The Simpsons to enjoy this show. Nope. I think that might be something that might concern audiences. If you are like even tangentially aware that The Simpsons exist, you're good. Anything beyond that is gravy. Nice. But like it's a testament to, you know, the resonance of pop culture, I think, in terms of like our sense of narrative consciousness and that sort of thing. So. Yeah.
And if you have 5 minutes before you should watch it. You can go on YouTube and see the best hits of the Cape Fear episode of The Simpsons, and you'll go, oh, yeah, that's really cool.
Well, I love it. I cannot wait to see it. And you guys were telling me, little inside baseball here, but you were telling me that the tech process, which can be stressful in the best of times, went about as smoothly as it could have, right?
Just considering the number of moving parts in this show and just the sheer size of the lift, I was stunned by how smooth and just smooth sailing the tech process was. And I give all credit or a lot of credit to Reed Davis, who is the stage manager over there. Mm-hmm. Like, I made a point of telling him the other day, it's like, guy runs one tight ship. And it's so lovely to just feel supported and cared for, not just by the stage manager, but by the entire design team, the creative team. It's just been really, really tremendous.
I would second that. And I would also say that it's the kind of play where people might want to talk about it afterwards. It does generate a lot of conversation, a lot of thought, especially having gone through the pandemic recently. So we've had a lot of those conversations as a cast. So if people are interested in coming to talk more about it, we have a post-show talk back with Habitat for Humanity on Sunday, April 21st. That's this Sunday following the matinee. And then what's really fun is Ready, Set, Go with Improv Acadia featuring Ellen Adams.
Yeah, I'm doing
drum roll, please. On Wednesday, April 24th. Now, that's an unusual thing. Sometimes they do a Sunday. So that's next Wednesday, the 24th. Then after that, on Thursday night, we have this great post-show conversation with Briar Patch Bookstore, you know, which we love, and Holly Adams about Burns and Station 11 on April 25th. So, you know, you got a Sunday, you got a Wednesday, you got a Thursday. And Station 11 is the show that apparently was written afterwards and is a television show that has that theme of a theater company kind of going around and entertaining people in a post something epidemic.
Yeah. Holly's a member of the faculty at the English faculty at the University of Maine, and one of her areas of interest is this sort of apocalyptic, dystopian, post-apocalyptic fiction. And so, I mean, she's an ideal person to sort of lead this sort of conversation and to tie the conversation to between this show and, you know, and Station 11, the television show, as well as the Emily St. John Mandel book, you know? So it's just like, it's a real chance to delve into some of those sort of themes and explore kind of the parallels. I think it's going to be a really fascinating conversation. I'm planning on participating myself. Excellent. Because,
well, and it's in the stage door, which, you know, if you haven't hit that yet, it's a really fun, beautiful cocktail lounge that we have right next door to the theater. It is open for anyone. It's also open before and after all the shows. So don't forget to come by the stage door and have a drink before or after Mr. Byrne.
Absolutely. It opens this weekend. Tickets available by calling the theater, 942-3333. Go online, penobscottheater.org, or stop right into the box office and make sure you get your tickets there. Don't want to miss it. I know I won't. Jerry, Alan, thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thank you.
Break
thank
legs
you, Rick.
This weekend.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank you.
Penobscot Theater presenting Mr. Burns, starting this weekend officially on Saturday night. It's 16 minutes after 4 o'clock.